Hello, welcome to Crucified for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening, welcome. If you came across this ministry, I don't believe it was by accident. I believe it was by divine hand of our God. And welcome. On this website, there's sermons, quite a few of them, a few Bible studies, and try to post devotionals throughout the week. So you can check all those things out. If you need to contact me, the best way to contact me is through Facebook. You can private message me, PM me. Just make sure you reference this website out. You can email me, but if you do, just make sure in the subject heading you put Crucify for Christ Ministry questions. So if it does go to spam and I'm looking through my spam mail, I can pick it out. Because I get a lot of spam mail. You probably can relate. You probably get a lot of spam mail too. So that's just a way to pick it out. I check my spam once a month. So there's hundreds and hundreds of spam. So there's something out there. I just don't want your question or your comments or whatever be deleted. If you want to get a hold of me that way, Facebook is the best way to reach me. I'm on Instagram. Not often, on Twitter, not too much, but those are other means you can reach out to me. This is Crucified for Christ Ministries. Welcome. Those that have been listening, praise Jesus. Thank you for your support, and your support is your prayers. Your prayers, I don't ask for no money on this website, and the website does cost money to keep it up and running, but I don't work a full-time job, 40 hours a week, secular job, so I pay for everything. I'm my own pocket for this ministry, and don't ask for it. So everything that comes on here is use it. If it's something you, if all of this is God, not Jonathan Ritter. So if you're hearing something through this ministry, and that's the Holy Spirit, I don't take credit for that. You grab it, you run with it. God gets the glory. I don't want none of it. Today, or this week, I've really been praying, seeking God, and it was just this concept of, and it's not a new concept, you know, but seeking God's presence in those valleys, those challenges, right, those storms in life, and keeping God in focus. And that's kind of what this message is going to be on. I mean, I could pick, you can pick through, if you read from Genesis to Revelations, my friend, you could find a lot of points to start to preach on this subject. I'm going to preach on Psalms 27. This week on that topic, the presence of the Lord, seeking the presence of the Lord, to have this constant presence in our life. And Psalms 27 is where we're going to start, and we're going to just read all read the whole psalm. If you know me, you know I love Psalms. It is my favorite book in the Old Testament. I can't count how many times I've read through Psalms. Study through Psalms, memorize whole Psalms, because there's a power in that, in memorization, period. But I love the Psalms because it just, to me, I draw a lot of strength from it. I don't know, I guess the pain, some of the psalmists like David, the pain they were going through, and I can relate to a level of suffering in pain, but not nowhere near as suffering as David did, but you know, and nowhere near as suffering as our brothers and sisters in other countries. That are here in America, we are privileged, we are blessed, we are beyond what we can imagine. And I thank God for that, for the freedom of worship, the freedom of praise, the freedom to go to church, the freedom to express Jesus Christ. Although, as time draws closer, that here I believe in America, and I'll tell you guys before, I'm not a prophet, I don't profess to be a prophet, Although you look at the qualifications of prophets today in America, it's not a hard, they're not biblical, most of them, and there's not a, they don't follow the guidelines like they should through scripture. So they don't set the bar very high, but God's word does. And we need to get back to God's word. That is imperative, and be able to call these men out when they misprophesied. But that's a different point. We'll be in Psalms 27, 1 through 14. If you have your Bibles, I'm reading from the King James Version. You may have a different version, so it will read a little bit different. Starting in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. On whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me. Answer me. When I sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. That have been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me, O thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for the false witness are risen up against me, rised up against me in such a breath out of cruelty. I have fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen the heart. Wait, I say, unto the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. God, we lift you up above anything else, God, as we go into this message for this week. God, you just direct me, you guide me, Holy Spirit, pour through me to whoever that may hear this message. God, we lift them up to you. I don't know what's going on in their life, but I know one thing you do. Yahweh, you know, Elohim, Heavenly Father, Lord of hosts, El and I. God, you know what that person is going through, God. You know the challenge that he or she may be facing, God. We lift them up in your name, in the name of Jesus, God. If they're having medical problems, God, we lift that up to you. If they're having financial problems, we lift that up to you. If they have anxiety, depression, stress, if this life is just getting too much and they just don't know where to go, Lord, we pray that they go to the Lord in prayer. They seek his word. God, they seek. God, we pray that you put people in their path, God, if they're struggling, that reaches into their life and just gives them that hope and that joy that's in each and every one of us as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a joy of our salvation. We have a hope that is founded on that solid rock. That solid rock is the name of Jesus Christ. He is our strong hold. He's our hiding place. He's a place where we can have this comfort and true rest, the strength that this world cannot understand, a peace that surpasses all. For the peace within the storm He provides, as long as our eyes are firmly faced, placed on Him, He will guide us, He will direct us, He will give us strength and hope. God, we lift those up that are struggling. God, we lift You, we lift them up that are having these worries in life, that life is bringing them down. God, this life can get heavy like a ton of bricks on top of our head, and we can struggle every day. Even those that know Jesus, we can struggle. I know that I struggle. But Lord, I know where my strength comes from. It comes from the Lord. And I have to get past myself and get my eyes firmly planted on the One that holds my tomorrow. God, just guide me, direct me as I preach this sermon and teach this sermon. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here, my friend, is another beautiful psalm from David. I love the Psalms, and I find confidence in reading and studying and memorizing Psalms. There's a power in hiding God's Word in our hearts. And one way to hide God's Word in our hearts is memorization. Amen. Now, we look at this psalm. This is a psalm by David, inspired by the Holy Spirit for those in his time and now in our time. We could say this psalm was written when David was going really, really through a tough time. He was going through, we could say, a valley, or you could say valleys. He was facing a challenge or challenges. He was in a storm of life or storms in life that he's experiencing. When we read through this and we listen to the words, and I encourage you, when this sermon's over, just go back and read through it and listen. I encourage you to even memorize it. But he is going through a valley here. Maybe valleys, right? He's facing a challenge or challenges. He is facing a storm. And most of us can pretty much relate to valleys and challenges and storms in life. But when we look at this psalm, it's hard to place exactly where David is writing this psalm and what period of time in his life that he was experiencing this valley, this challenge, this storm. If you read through the historical account of David, you know him and Saul, they didn't get along very well. Saul tried to kill him multiple times. This led David to hide. Later, David becomes king. Most of us already know the number one sin that most of us, when we think of David, we can relate to know that David, his sin with Bathsheba and the murdering of her husband Uriah. Most of us, if you're in church any time long, you've probably even heard it preached quite a few times or even mentioned bypass. Of the sin of Bathsheba, his murder. And then, of course, there's multiple times in Scripture he disobeyed God. But we do not know exactly what point in his life that he's feeling this challenge, this storm, this valley that is bringing him to this moment of distress. But one thing we can tell when we look at this psalm is he is seeking God's presence in this time that he's going through. Most of us have faced valleys, challenges, storms in life. Some of us may be going through one right now. If you haven't experienced a valley or a challenge or a storm in life, right, you never have, I promise you, sooner or later you will. It's inevitable. and the purpose and the goal of this sermon that I'm going to try to articulate today for you. And I may come out and do another one on this. Is seeking God's presence. Seeking God's presence in the valleys, the challenges, our storms of life. If you're taking notes, I would jot that down. Seeking God's presence in the valleys, challenges, and storms in life. And I would also like you to write this down. God is the God of the valleys. That is the challenge, right? The challenges in life, the storms in life that we may face in life. And God is God of the mountaintops. That is the victories, the lessons we learn while we're down in that valley, within that challenge, within that storm of life. Nobody likes to go through valleys, challenges, or storms in life. I don't like that. But here's the thing, we never grow unless we experience those valleys, those challenges, those storms in life. We will never grow. I can speak from personally, Jonathan Ritter will not grow unless I am challenged, unless I'm placed in that valley low. I'm just being honest with you, and I speak from my flesh. In those valleys, in those challenges, those storms in life, that is truly where we grow. Of course, the mountaintops, the victories, the lessons we learn, those are points when we're on that mountaintop to what? To lift our hearts to God and thank Him for His presence in those valleys, right? In those challenges, in those storms in life. The mountaintops are not for us, but a chance for us to praise and worship the One who carried us through the valleys, the challenges, the storms in life. But when we look at ourselves as the ones that may have accomplished or achieved those valleys, those challenges, the storms in life, when we start looking at and start giving ourselves credit more than the One that holds the most credit. He deserves all our credit. All our credit is due. When we start elevating ourselves above God, we start missing the importance of what God is trying to tell us on that mountaintop. He wants us to think on that valley and how He guides us and He directs us to get up to that mountaintop and how we should grow. Let me tell you, my friend, if we would reflect more while we're on that mountaintop coming out of that valley, we would not repeat the same mistakes that we make over and over and over again. It's when we start elevating ourselves like we're the ones that done it. We got ourselves out of that valley. We got ourselves out of that challenge. We got us out of the storm. In other words, we seek our own presence. Instead of the presence of God on that mountaintop. Remember, God is God of the mountains, the mountaintops, and the valleys. We should seek His presence as much as we do on that mountaintop as we would in that valley low where them challenges and storms rage so fierce. But while we're on that mountaintop, and I speak from experience, we can start getting comfortable. We even can start getting lazy. We can start getting our eyes on ourselves and not on the One that deserves all our praise and worship. From the early mornings to the late night, He should get all of our worship and praise and nothing else. And what I want to press on your heart today and this week is this question I want to present to you, and it is, do you seek God's presence constantly from the mountaintops? That is the victories and the learning, to the valley lows, that is the challenges and storms in this life. Maybe you never thought of this. Now I would love you to ponder this question. Reflect on this question. Do not let it go away. Write it down. Ponder it. Pray over it. Seek God's word for it. Look for His direction. Pound on that door for an answer. Here in Psalm 27, this beautiful psalm by David, he provides some guidance on enlightening us to this question, among many others, but this is a question that the Lord laid on my heart, is that question that, do you seek God's presence constantly from the mountaintop to the valley lows? In verse 1, that, let's just read that. It says in verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? David provides us with the first key to this question. Do you seek God's presence constantly from the mountaintops? That those victories, those learning experience, to the valleys low, the challenges and storms in life. In that first few words that of verse 1, the Lord is my light. Listen carefully. God never ceases from being a light. He is always a light, no matter how we may feel in our life. We can cease from being a light, but God never ceases from being a light. This concept of light in relationship to God, right? Here in the Old Testament, to Jesus Christ, who is God. John 8:12 came to mind, and I looked it up. And I wrote the verse down. In the Gospel of John 8, verse 12, here's Jesus speaking. He said, then spake Jesus unto them, say, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. And we could try to explain the Trinity with our little finite minds. It may be pretty well and bold our chests up like real cocky, like we've done something. I promise you, we'll fall short. Because our little finite minds, I do not care how many PhDs or masters you have, master degrees you have at your name, you will fall short every time trying to explain the Trinity. But me personally, I'm okay. I will try to explain it, but I will quickly say I will fall short in trying to explain the Trinity because my little mind, my little finite mind, is trying to wrap around this infinite God, this amazing God, this God who created this whole world. If you look at the human body, remember in college when I was taking medical classes, just looking at the anatomy of the human body, it just blows my mind how if one thing in your body is out of sync, your whole body is affected. But when you look at how the heart is and how the blood pumps back and forth, amazing. I am amazed. I am speechless. How could anybody deny God, the creator of this world, the creator of the human body? When you look in the mirror, it's amazing. It's a miracle to just see that we're walking around. God's hand created us from our mother's womb. That's another beautiful thing. A child in a mother's womb. How could you deny a God that is so creative? The greatest artist to ever be created you and me. Amazing. But I do not try to, I will try to explain the Trinity, but you know, I will fall short, and I'm okay with falling short because I don't profess to be the most intellectual person in the world, but I can tell you one thing. I have done a lot of studying. I've read a lot of books. I've listened to people trying to explain it. I've listened to those that are learned more than I am, and guess what? They still fall short. But we don't have to explain everything. It just blows my mind when, just for example, think of gravity. I don't know the formula for gravity. I don't know the mathematical formula of gravity, but I know one thing. Gravity does exist. And you know one thing, and you wouldn't refute this. Gravity does exist. If I asked you if you could explain the mathematical formula of gravity, you would say, I could not even do that unless you are a physicist or have some type of hard science background. They are just nerdy and you've read books on gravity. But most of us have not. But one thing is certain that we can all agree. If I climb on top of my house and jump off, I will not float in the air. I will fall to the ground. That is a fact. I have faith that I will fall to the ground. And most of us will have faith. But can we explain gravity? No. But it just blows my mind when people want us to articulate the Trinity, for they will believe. I will tell you one thing, that the reality of it is, I do not know their hearts, but when they're trying, they can have more faith in gravity than in Jesus Christ. There's something wrong with their hearts. Now, if they profess to know Jesus Christ and they're honest, they really are trying to know, then yes, we work. But if they're trying to cause some type of confusion in your mind, doubts, maybe the enemy has placed them in your life to cause you confusion. I will present them the same thing I was telling you about gravity. And a lot of times those individuals, it boils down to one thing and one thing only. They love this world too much. Their sin, their love for sin is more than the love of God. Their hearts are filled more with darkness than light. They want to walk in darkness than light. God is light. Light has always existed. I came across this poem, and I don't remember the author of this poem, but it says, "The light of God shine upon you today. Remember to life. Remember to lift up your heart, sorry, each and every day in every way. The light of God shines bright in even the smallest sight. The light of God is giving us passion, love, uniqueness, and grace. Light of God is praying each and every day to let the light of God go to our hearts and to share for all the world to see. The light of God is singing no matter what. Love God with the utmost. No matter what, with those mountaintops, seek Him. Within those valley lows, seek Him. He is the light within those highs and within those in those lows. But yes, I get this. We can have problems when we're in that valley low and we were facing those challenges, those storms. And we can lose focus on God. And a lot of this has to do with our loss of focus when we're up on that mountaintop. When we're on that mountaintop, that does not mean we relax and look to ourselves. No. On that mountaintop, we look at God and how He got us through that valley. We reflect on how he carried us through there, how he delivered us through that challenge, that storm in life, and what he needs us to take away from that current valley we went through, that current challenge, that current storm in life. Let me present you, my friend, this question. Do you do this? Do you do this? I'm not saying this to shame you. I'm saying this to wake you. To change your perspective that you may have if you're on that mountaintop. See, that mountaintop, there is a time for reflection, a time of praise and worship, and to ponder, God, what did you need me to learn, and did I learn that? Did I grow like you needed me to grow? We are supposed to grow in Christ daily, because he wants us to be more like him, right? Like his son, Jesus Christ, more like him, less like us. And when we're on that mountaintop, of course we rest, but we rest in God. We seek his presence to prepare us for the next valley, for the next challenge, for the next storm that he has prepared for us to grow. Here, listen carefully. This Christian life is not a life of self-comfort or self-centeredness or relying on ourselves. Listen, take note. Do not let this flee from your ear from when you hear it. Let it lodge deeply in your heart and let you grow. Do not let Satan snatch this from you. He will in a heartbeat. He will take that from you because he does not want you to grow. I'll tell you today, when I look at the American Christian church, all I see is immature Christians. When I look at majority of the pastors, the evangelists, the Bible teachers, they are immature. They have not grown in their faith, and they will be called one day in a deep valley where they will give everything away because they have truly not placed their trust in Jesus Christ. They prefer a life of self-comfort, self-centeredness, and relying on themselves. And when all of that is taken away and they have not placed where they should have placed their life truly on that rock that is Jesus Christ, their foundation will fall apart because it was never rooted in Jesus Christ. And here is where many will want to, that statement right there, many people will want to turn that switch off. I am done with you, preacher man. I don't want to hear that hate. That is the time we are living in, when the Joel Osteens of the world have millions upon millions of followers. Why? Because they whisper these lies that are comfortable to the ears. The New Age Christianity, this age that everyone can come to Christ, but you don't have to come through the Father. I want to tell you, we're in the age of time where sin is accepted, and those that are professing to know Jesus are told they can live in their sin and still be saved. I want to tell you today, if you're living your sin, you're comfortable in your sin. There is no conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life to turn from repentance. You are not a child of God. Oh, Jonathan, you just made me mad. My pastor, my preacher, my evangelist, my Bible teacher would disagree. Let me tell you, there are agents of Satan if they counter that. The darkness in their life, you have like a virus, they have infected you. And guess what? When y'all are both burning in hell and screaming for relief, for rescue. There will be none. Here is your time for rescue. God placed men like me, messengers, in place that you come across these messages. And when you hear these messages, what do? Do you harden your heart? Do you close your ears? You get mad and you spit. Oh, how you would be as Jesus said, as he was speaking, you speak those hard truths. You kill the prophets. You kill the preachers. You kill the pastors. You would if you could. In your heart, after hearing a message, majority will want to kill me. They will kill people like me that proclaim the truth of the gospel. Do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your ears. Open your hearts to the gospel. Recognize a true Christian life is a life of being uncomfortable. A Christian life is about not being centered on yourself, but say, Jesus, here is my life. Do what you must with it. I give you all, and all that is, I give it all to you. I will not rely on myself. I rely on you. You guide me. You direct me. God. Yeah, I got ahead of myself on talking about salvation. But man, David continues in verse 1. He talks about salvation. And I'll tell you, salvation is so beautiful. David, on the direction of the Holy Spirit here, combines light and salvation together. And there is a reason. Light and salvation cannot be separate. Remember verse 8:12 when... Then Jesus again unto them saying, Behold, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. If you're his, you're walking that walk in light and not darkness. Amen. Are you his? You will seek light. I want to tell you today, this won't make you warm and fuzzy inside, and you're probably not warm and fuzzy inside just hearing some of this message today. But if you want a life of comfortability, self-centeredness, relying on yourself, you're not a true child of God. You're not His. You may find thousands upon thousands of preachers, so-called preachers, teachers, evangelists, apostles, and those professing, that makes me sick to my stomach, that profess to be a prophet, but they're just agents of darkness. They will tell you a lie so they can get your money. They will tell you following Jesus Christ will be like a bed of roses. You will have all the comfort that you can think of it. He can be like a genie in a bottle. You can say, Lord, I need this, and He will grant your wish. This is counter to Scripture. Just listen to Jesus here. I'm not going to go too deep in this, but I preach salvation all through this website. And you can go and check these messages out. But Jesus Christ says in Luke 14:27, He said, Whosoever do not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Matthew 16:24 says, Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. These are just a few verses. I could go in a whole lot more. But most of your Tate churches will not echo this truth, because the truth does not sell. To pick up your cross does not sell. Many will say, hey, there's a difference between Christian, being a Christian and disciple. And I want to tell you, there is no difference in being a Christian and disciple. Immediately, the red flags get thrown up and they're mad, they're angry, they're spitting. But let me present you this question. I preached on this several times throughout the years on this website and in person in churches. How many times is the word Christian used? The singular verb Christian or the plural verb Christians? In the Bible, I know for the KJV, the NKJV, and the NLT, the NIV, that base word Christian, and you can look at the plural of that, Christians, used three times. It. And in Acts, it actually points to disciples. Disciples were first called Christians. So let me present you this way. And they were called before that the way. I wish we'd go back and just say we're just the way, right? Instead of that word Christian or Christians been polluted so much, it's nasty. Everybody is a Christian today. But they're not. You have to be a disciple. Disciples are the disciple or disciples, plural, is used over hundreds of times in the New Testament. And we know, and most Bible scholars would, and a whole lot smarter than me, they would say when a word is repeated multiple times within God's holy word, there's significant value to that. I would say being a disciple is more important, but it points to being a Christian. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple. So every time Jesus speaks of a disciple, he's speaking of a true Christian. Oh, let me tell you, there's kickback on this. Because people want to live a life of do what thou will, comfortability. They want to go and miss church on Sunday. If you're part of a church, you're consider that is your home church. Why are you missing it? If you're not feeling good, I get that. Stay home if you're sick. But you're going to a football game. I get if you have to work. I understand that. But hopefully you don't have to work every Sunday. Once again, they get pushed back and say, well, we are the church. But let me put this way. Why wouldn't you want fellowship with your brothers and sisters as much as you can? If you're professing to be part of a church and you never go, then why are you professing to be part of that church? Best to say I'm not. If you have a home fellowship, that's understandable. That can be a church. But state as it is, we're a home fellowship. That is our fellowship. And hopefully you have more people coming to your home like it would be in a church. Visiting. Now, I'm not saying this to be angry or be mad. I'm just trying to, and honestly, this wasn't even part of my notes. This is all God. Well, it's all God anyway, but, and he wants me to say this, so somebody's out there that needs to hear this. A lot of times, you know, I'll type out a full manuscript and God will bring me off on topics like this to talk about because he knows somebody needs to hear this. I don't know who needs to hear it, but somebody needs to hear it. Find you a home, find you a fellowship, a physical building, and link shields. Get involved, outreach within that community. Now, I understand if there's churches in the area, they are not preaching the gospel, then God understands that, and thank God on those points in time, now that most of us, we have social media, we can have sermons streamed from, you know, churches that are solid, and are preaching, but the goal is to find new brothers and sisters, because there's power in numbers, physically being around people that are like-minded believers. There's power within that. But we should be seeking truth. When we look at these being a disciple and a Christian, that's the first thing I would ask if I went to a church and I was seeking to be a member of that church or whatever, or going to the church? That's one of the questions I would ask, because I know it's one of those questions that is challenged today. Is there a difference between a Christian and a disciple? And if the preacher starts trying to piggy tail him, there isn't, then immediately he needs to be corrected. And if he can't heed correction, then you move on to the next church. There is no difference between a Christian and a disciple. They are the same. A disciple is just a Christian is a disciple, period. And a disciple will be a person, as Jesus is speaking here. He says in Luke 14:27, whoever do not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If you do not want to bear your cross and come after me, come after Jesus Christ, you're not his. You're not a Christian. You are not a true child of God. You're a part of the agent of darkness. Matthew 16:24 says, and Jesus said unto his disciples, any man shall come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. These truths need to be echoed. The cross is painful, right? Each and every one must freely accept that cost. Now, salvation, of course, is a free gift. It is a free gift from God. By grace we are saved, right? Through mercy we are saved. Titus 3:5, Ephesians 2:8-10. You can go to Romans 5 and it's all through. You can look at the most popular passage out of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, right? Continues down all the way to 21. In that passage, you look at light and darkness there. Light and darkness is all scattered through God's word, right? So you're a part of light or you're part of darkness. But you look at all that. Salvation is a gift given by God. We can't earn that. But if you look at Ephesians 2:8-10, he creates us for good works, right? And verse 10 tells us that we are his workmen. I mean, he has created us for works. So we seek his direction. Now, in this life, we will have to bear painful things, painful challenges. We will have to go through valleys in this life, and we will have to face the storms in life for Jesus Christ. But when we take this on and we realize there's a cost, but it's worth it, we will follow Jesus with everything we got. From our perspectives can be hard, but when we lean on the Father, he surrounds us by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guides us through those valleys. He guides us through those challenges. He guides us through the storms in life, and they will become more tolerable. Why not? Because of us, but because we have took our eyes off ourselves and placed them where? On Jesus Christ. I love how David, he continued in verse 1. And my, we already are 47 minutes. But this will go over probably a little bit over an hour. I probably won't be able to break this down all the way how I want to. But we will get through this. And I hope when it's all said and done, you'll be able to. That question that I have presented, I encourage you to write down, that you can write that down and listen to this. You may have to listen to it again and ponder and pray over it and let the Holy Spirit direct you on this. But he continues in verse 1. He said, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see, when we truly look at this life is not ours. The Holy Spirit will give us strength to endure this life. But we have to understand, the life you're living, if you're truly a child of God, is not our life. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And when David is presenting this low point, he presents this question, who shall I fear? He's looking at this life and he's saying, who shall I fear? And he counters, the Lord is my strength of my life. He recognizes this fear he's speaking of is the fear that he has allowed Satan to attack him with, to affect his strength. And he realized, the Lord is the strength of my life. And he counters that and he said, of whom shall I be afraid? He recognized who he should be afraid of. He should focus his eyes on Jesus Christ. You see, when we do this, see, the enemy will use fear to grip our hearts. The spirit of fear, right? To grip our hearts. But if we recognize who truly is the strength of our life, that fear that the enemy implements or tries to implement in our life, guess what? It will snap into pieces. I love another David Psalm, Psalm 28, 7 through 8. He says, the Lord is my strength here. Again, and then he uses a spiritual warfare term here. My shield. So my heart trusts in him. I love how he talks about a shield. My heart trusts in him. And I am helped, therefore, my heart greatly rejoice. And with my song, while I praise him, the Lord is their strength. He is the saving strength of his anointed. The Lord is our strength. There's only one strength that matters in life. The strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we center our life and our whole being on Jesus Christ, guess what? The fear were our enemies. That is our spiritual enemies influencing our physical enemies. Which we can see here with David. He's got the physical enemies affecting him. But we know the spiritual enemies are affecting these physical enemies. But when we place our strength in God, we recognize the battle. We draw strength. Now, just listen to what David is going through with these physical enemies that are influenced by spiritual enemies. He says, when the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, came up on me to eat up my flesh, meaning they are seeking to kill him, and they stumble and they fail, though an host shall encounter against me, my heart shall what? Not fear. Through war shall rise against me. In this will I be confident. David is under stress, but he's in a tense physical threat of physical life. His physical life is being threatened here. But what is going on? He is going to draw strength from the Lord. He's recognizing the battle. He's recognizing the spiritual warfare. Let me tell you, spiritual warfare is real. It's true. I preached on it quite a few times. We have to prepare ourselves for war for the battle every day. And that is to draw strength from the Lord. To take our eyes off ourselves and place them on the Father. Verse 4 through 5, David continues and he says, one thing I have desire of the Lord. He said, this is the only thing I have desire of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in this temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall sit me up on a rock. Even in the valley. Even in the challenge. Even in the storm of life. David is seeking his strength here. He is seeking God's presence by dwelling in the house of the Lord. Not just one day of the week, but all the days of his life. He's rooting his life in God every day. He's seeking God's word every day. I want to tell you, my friend, if you have this mindset of being God's word every day, this will prepare you. It will prepare you for battle every day. It will prepare you for the valleys. It will prepare you for the challenges. It will prepare you for the storms in life. Jesus Christ is the rock. He is the foundation. I can't help but think of Matthew 7, 24 through 27. If you never read these passages, I encourage you to. But here in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Jesus tells us, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, and of course, this is off the Sermon on the Mount. Starts in Matthew 7, and he's wrapping up that whole sermon here in Matthew 7. So it starts in Matthew 5, and you can read it all in Matthew 7. And he's speaking. He said, I said all these words, his word, God's word. And he said, those that listen, I will like him unto a wise man. Now here, man is you can view that as not just as a male, but you can use that as a person. Any person, a wise person, a wise individual, who, of course, a Christian, who builds his house up on the rock. Here's that word again, rock, right? Now, hear that rock, go up there, Matthew verse Psalms 27, 4 through 5, verse 5, look at that very bottom, of that verse is, he shall sit upon a rock. Here is the rock and saying the same thing. It's so beautiful. Where built his house upon the rock, that is Jesus Christ. And guess what? The rain that descended, the floods came, the winds blew, they beat up the house. It fell not. For what was it founded on, my friend? A rock. And then he counters here. He said, everyone that hear these sayings of mine, do them not, shall be likened unto what? A foolish man or individual who built his house upon the sand. And guess what? The rain descended. The flood came. The wind blew. Beat up on his house. And what happened? It fell. And he continues. And he says, great was the fall. When you look at this, it should break your heart. Two individuals, one wise, the other foolish. One who listened to the word of God, hid God's word in his or her heart. Solid roots, solid foundation. The other one did not. The wise person understood of having his or her lights on in his home or her home. The light in his or her home penetrates anything that came to destroy his or her home. The wind could not affect it. The flood could not affect it. Even though it beat on the house, the light stayed on. Oh, the foolish though. The light turned off. He didn't want to seek God's presence. He or she did not want to seek God's presence. That person turned off his lights or her lights. And that storm fell. So did the house. And I pray with all I got to you today that you have your light on every day. That you are in God's word every day. Only you can answer that question. To stay in God's word, to meditate on God's word more than anything else, is a way to constantly stay in God's presence. Memorization, right? We're almost at that hour mark, but what I want to do is I want to just read the rest of these verses, and I want you to keep that thought in mind. Even this thought, where does your strength come from? Verse 6 through 14 says, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies around about me. Therefore I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me. Answer me when I say, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me the way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for the false witness are rised up against me. Such as breath out cruelty. They breed out cruelty. I have faint unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of the good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, unto the Lord. Closing this out. And I pray that you remember that initial question at the very beginning of this sermon. Do you see God's presence constantly from the mountaintops? That is the point of victory and point of reflection. God, what do you need me to learn? To the valley lows. That is the challenges and the storms, the challenges and storms in this life. I cannot answer that question for you. All I can do is point you to God's word. All I can do is direct you to the one that has all the answers. I know a lot of times people look at preachers, men of God, evangelists, Bible teachers, as we have all the answers. I promise you, we do not. We know the one that does. You have access to his presence just as we do. But are you seeking his presence? Are you seeking a life of being comfortable? Are you seeking a life where you're self-centered? It's about me, me, I. It's about my purpose, my goals, my wills. It's all about me. Do you treat God like a genie in a bottle? Only when times get hard, you petition the heavens. Are you relying more on yourself than the one that deserves all our praise and worship? If you answer yes to these questions, you say, yes, I want a comfortable life. I want this life to be about me. Let me tell you, my friend, you truly have not understand true biblical Christianity. I don't care what your pastors told you. I don't care what your preachers told you. I don't care what your evangelists, your Bible teachers, your apostle, your prophet, whoever they want to call themselves, what title they want to call themselves. They can call themselves anything they want. God will call them out for exactly who they are. Wolves in sheep clothing. Men tickling your ears to tell you exactly what you want to hear and not what you need to hear. There's thousands and thousands of them today, and they're growing over and over, and they will grow more and more. They will line right up with the eschatology of the new age spirit of Christianity. And men like me will be ostracized. We're already being ostracized. It will get worse. And I say all this in saying that you may be going through something right now that you do not understand, and you're having a hard time grasping it. You're seeking God's presence, but it seems like it's just bouncing off the wall. Let me make it very not really comfortable for you, but let me put it this way. You have to change your perspective. You got to change your lifestyle. You got to realize this life is not about you. It's about how Jesus can use you. This life is not about how you can rely on yourself. It's about how you can rely on Jesus Christ. And when we start doing this, guess what happens? We start moving our eyes from ourselves and we start placing them on Jesus Christ. And when we start doing that, we start realizing that that light starts flowing through us. Even in the valleys that we may experience, the challenges and the storms in life, we still let that light shine through us. The pain can be overwhelming. It can rattle us to our core, but we still let the light shine because why? Now we are leaning on the one that gives us the strength to keep on enduring through all the storms in this life. Why? Because we are now having that foundation, that firm foundation, because while now we are seeking His way, we're seeking His will, we're seeking His purpose, we want our life to be inundated with reading God's Word, right? More than anything else in this life. More than cutting the TV on and binge watching for hours and hours something on. There is so many social media platforms, streamings, just pick one. Prime, Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, Paramount, Freevee. I mean, it's so much. I can't keep track of all of them. But all those things should mean nothing. Yes, I mean, if you seeking God's direction on wanting to watch on those, making sure they're, you know, lining up with Scripture, yes, but when it comes to studying God's Word takes precedent. It takes priority in our life. And I don't know if it does for you. And I'm saying all this in a sense, how do we have this constant presence from the mountaintops, right, to the valley lows? I'm telling you, dating yourself in God's Word, putting roots, memorizing Scripture, this is a way to have this constant presence of God in your life. The more we draw near to Him, the more He draws near to us. A lot of times we let things in this life come in between us. And it creates a gap. This is sin, right? If you're doing more stuff for yourself than for Jesus Christ, guess what? You have just created yourself an idol. Self-centeredness, right? You have just became an idol and you're worshiping yourself. What we do, truth, repentance, and stop it. Lean on the Holy Spirit. A lot of times when we're saying, hey, I feel distant from God, I don't know what, we're doing it to ourselves. Because God will always be a light. He does not cease to be a light, right? He will always be a light in our life as long as we are drawing near to Him daily, seeking Him more than anything else in this world. When we have strong roots, guess what? We are that wise person. When we're not seeking Him, guess what? We are the foolish person. And where everything crumbles around us, realize that that wise and foolish man they had, or foolish person, they had two different perspectives. One accepted God's word and the other didn't. One seek to be rooted within the storm to keep his lights on or her lights on, while the other chose not to. While we're in that storm, that challenge, in that valley low, we can still have the presence of the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives us comfort and peace. And up on that mountaintop, we recognize God was with us. He guide us. He's direct us. It's a time to rest in the Lord and to also praise and worship Him. He is still the God of the valleys. He is still God of the mountaintops. On the mountaintops is a time for us, a reflection, to realize that storm that we went through, that challenge we went through, that valley we went through. What did God need us to learn from that? We take that, we grab that, we grow, we prepare our hearts for the next one. And guess what? We get paired and we go, because God wants us to grow. If you don't want to grow in Christ, do you have problems. If you're seeking a comfortable life. If you're seeking a life with self-centeredness and relying on yourself. That is not Christianity. Christianity is about being uncomfortable. And guess what? As this world goes harder and deeper and more hostile to true Christians, we have to prepare ourselves. There's many, especially here in America, not ready. I equate them to the foolish man, the foolish individual. When the storms come, true storms come, persecution comes, great will be the fall, and they will not recover, because they didn't have that solid foundation. They're seeking a life of comfortability, self-centeredness, and relying on self. And Satan has them right where he wants them. And I pray that you're not like that, my friend. I pray that you seek a God, seek a life. You seek a life where God will grow you, regardless of what situation that you may go in, what challenge you may go in, what storm you may go to, what valley. You seek God to grow you. You do not let the challenges of this life, the valleys of this life, the storms of his life define you. You let God define you. You grow. The goal is to be more like Jesus. To wage that warfare. To seek his presence constantly. From the very high point of the mountains to the valley lows. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. God, I pray as this message just goes out, it reaches whoever. I know it will reach whoever it needs. We pray over their life right now, God. We pray, Lord, that wherever they may be in their life, maybe they are going through something in their life and they need to recognize to get their eyes off themselves. And place their eyes on you. To dig deeper into your word. Let it be part of their whole life. More than anything else. See, when we do this, our minds moves away from this world. Our perspective of who we are in this world changes. We recognize this world don't define us, but you do, God. We recognize these things that go in our life. There's points that we can grow. We accept it. And we press on. God, as we close this out, Lord, I pray over those today that may not know you, God. God, the goal, one of the goals of this ministry is to reach one soul. If one soul is reached, after preaching hundreds and thousands of sermons on this website, maybe, that's all that matters. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Once again, if you want to reach out to me, the best way to reach out to me is through Facebook, PM me, private message me, reference this website out, Crucified for Christ Ministries. And then if you want, you can try to send me an email. But if you do send me an email, it may go on spam. If it goes in spam, make sure you just put the subject heading or the subject title, Crucified for Christ Ministries questions. If you have any questions, please ask. Some of you guys have my personal phone number. Y'all do text me, and I get to you as fast as I can on messages. I do work a 40-hour regular job, too. So I may not be able to get to you immediately, but you know I try to reach you as fast as I can. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day. Stay safe. If you're in the, I know snow's falling in certain areas and ice. that you just be safe. And have a good day. Love you guys. Bye.